Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the 365 Message Center Show. And it's a SharePoint-themed show. Well, no, some of them of the messages are. Three of the topics we're going to be talking about today. One, new section level alignment on SharePoint pages. We're going to dive in and talk to you about that. The second is we're going to have improved version history controls for your tenant, all your SharePoint sites, and some implications of what you might choose and when. And then also, hey, you know those sites that you don't use anymore? What are you going to do with those? Well, now you're going to be able to archive them. We're going to talk about what happens when you archive, or do you have to pay for it? Those messages and more. Stay tuned. Here we go.
Welcome back, everyone. You don't need to know why I'm holding the laughter. But this is episode 330.
He's laughing at me, everybody. He's laughing at me. That's what's going on.
With you, Daniel. With you. With you. I'm just also waiting for you to laugh.
Right. This is episode 331. I am excited to be here. Daryl is obviously excited. He's laughing his head off, even though it's at me. And I want to say a special shout out to all those people that I just got to see last week at the Microsoft 365 Community Conference in Orlando. It was great. I met with so many people. It was so nice to walk down the hallway and go, people pass me and go, Daniel? I'm like, yeah, it's me. I'm Mario. It's like, yes. And, you know, give them stickers and everything. Anyway, it was a really good time. Really appreciate everyone, shouting out and saying, hey, you know, and even had some people come to my session. Fairy Geek Mother, you were there, I know.
Geek Mother, just a special message to you. I hassled Daniel saying, where's the selfie? Is the selfie with Fairy Geek Mother? No selfie. Come on.
He did. And I said, you know, how awesome you are and how awesome I'm not. And so therefore, I didn't do it. But I was in a really good mood during that session, and I think she'll attest to that. And I told everybody in that session, don't ruin it for me, people. Laugh at all my bad jokes. I'm in a really good mood. So I was. Anyway, so this week, like I mentioned in the very beginning, top of the episode, we have several SharePoint messages, which is amazing. This episode will not be brought by Teams, which is like... You know, that doesn't happen very often.
They canceled their sponsorship or something?
They paused the sponsorship. Oh, okay. I'm sure they'll be back next week. You know how they are.
Yeah.
So, just everyone, please go ahead and give us a thumbs up. Go right here on this video in YouTube. And if you're listening on the podcast, just give us a 5-star rating. And everybody share. Hit the share button.
Hey, on that share, we do take the time to give chapters to these videos on YouTube. Mm. So if you do want to jump to something that you're more interested in than us talking about our terrible jokes at the beginning, just want to get on with the business, we probably should have said that as our very first sentence. Welcome to the show, everyone. If you want to skip over the hoopla, use the chapters.
Yeah, but
now the hoopla starts.
The hoopla is the fun part. The rest is just the business.
Just
speaking.
The messages.
Speaking of the business end, maybe we should get to it.
Okay. All right then. Gee. So Daniel's got an organizational message to share, and he's pushing it towards me. We're using the admin center right now to. I'm trying to write my own.
Stop.
Segway. Let's just stop right there. All right. M365 Admin Center Organizational Messages Preview, MC789803. This sounds like a really interesting start to being able to deliver messages from a central place that need to go across the organization, that are related to change, that are related to adoption, that are related to, you know, it's sort of maybe administrative things as well. So this is going to be a feature as an admin center in And there'll be some roles around this where if you want to write a message, scoot on down with me to some of those images that are in the message, and we'll describe them for our listeners. Looking at the second message, choose an objective. What are we trying to achieve with this message? Are we trying to tell people about adoption features? Are we trying to get people onboarded with a new system that we're rolling out? Trying to tell people about service health, or maybe that there's promoting some training. So these are good possible objectives to have, right, Daniel, to get a message out. And where might these messages be delivered? It seems that they will initially be in Windows 11. They'll pop up as a notification center message. They will also be available in M365 apps, though we don't know much about them at this point. What do you think, Daniel? Is this a good start to a central place to send these sorts of messages over and above maybe an email or a news post?
Yeah, I would think so. I think the biggest question we have is exactly what we're doing here, you know, how it's going to work. But I believe this could be something that a lot of people have been asking for, which is a way to reach their users in a specified manner where they know they're going to see it. And this is not a blog post, right? This is not here's, you know, a video to do, you know, whatever. Remember, this is going out to the organization, so we need to make sure we're, you know, not blasting people every day with these things. But it could serve as an avenue or a vehicle of getting the word out on, you know, things like if you're rolling out a certain functionality in the organization, a certain service or something, you know, this could be that way of saying, hey, we're rolling out, you know, Copilot, if that's, you know, or whatever, you know, this could be the avenue to do it.
Mm-hmm. As I've hinted a couple of times, I think this is a start to this functionality. I'm sure there'll be some feedback and hopefully some more ways to target different people based on messages or groups of people. Like if we use that rollout example, we're rolling out phase one to wave one of people, and so being able to send that that way. There is a couple of roles, as I suggested, where there'll be people who can write these messages and people who can approve them. So there will be that level of control around whether or not you get spammed. but do take a look at the Learn article at the bottom. It's organizational messages in M365 Admin Center. That's quite a good one to get to grips with in terms of what this is. This will be rolling out into public preview early May, so now, complete in late May, and general availability will be, we will update the post when we have a specific timeline to share. I haven't seen that one before around timeline announcements. But Daniel, Let's keep moving along. There's going to be a few quick messages, and we're going to do our best to keep them quick. Notice how I'm saying that before Daniel gets started. Tell us about this SharePoint renaming thing.
Okay, Microsoft Syntex, Microsoft SharePoint Advanced Tenant Rename Feature MC789608. So this is being able to rename your tenant is something that it has been a thing for a while. It is, when it was released, it was, you can't do more than 10,000 sites, SharePoint sites, which included OneDrive sites. But now we're going to be able to, if you utilize the SharePoint Advanced Management licensing, you can rename up to 100,000 total sites and change the domain. So we're talking about SharePoint sites. So it's the part that comes before .sharepoint.com, right, in your URL, as well as in your OneDrive URL. The the reason why you might want to do this is you've acquired another company, you've divested, you changed your company name. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why you might want to change this name. I have seen on many occasions where it was just whoever went out and signed up, they got to choose the tenant name and no one really kind of paid attention to it. And then, but then they started to, and they're like, why is our name this weird? You know, it makes no sense. It's just because of whatever Sally or John had chosen when they signed up. So being able to rename, I think, is something that organizations use. There's some caveats to this. Check out the link in the body of this to the learn information, because for instance, you can only do it once. So, you know, there's lots of caveats. There's lots of rules around it. So check that out. I hope that was quick enough. That's
what almost.
Well, then show me what it's all about. Like, how am I supposed to do it, Daryl, with this new section level content aligning?
Oh no, that's easy. Watch how quick. Microsoft SharePoint, new section level content aligns on pages MC789318. Moving right along, your next message, Daniel.
Wow, okay, that's cheating.
No, I think we've done this before. All right, yeah, but I will keep it quick, right? If you're using sections on a SharePoint page, you will know that those collapsible sections, you can align them in terms of two columns, three columns, etc. But what you might have had trouble with is aligning them vertically, content inside that. So this is what has been introduced, that you can set your content up, and then an additional setting on the section allows you to align the content either to the top, to the middle, or to the bottom. And so a good screenshot in there shows an example of that with the three options. I probably am going to be opting for either the top alignment or middle alignment, but it all depends on what you're trying to show in the section. And this is generally available in mid-May and rolling out to be complete late May.
You know what's going to be interesting about this, Daryl, is along with the editing of background images for sections and things, it's going to be interesting how people align their content in the sections. So I know that's not talked about in this message, but it kind of brings about the whole, I'm creating experience on my pages and how I'm laying things out, you know, how people pull all those functionalities together to make beautiful pages.
Agreed. And the comms people and design people are going to love this sort of option, because alignment and blocking pages is really important. It has been a trouble in the past with SharePoint.
I definitely think your message was longer than my message.
No, so. You made it longer. See, I was
maybe,
finished.
And but then,
you know.
Hey, cheating is allowed. Next message, Microsoft SharePoint Document Libraries. Improved version history controls, vertical bar. What do we call that? I don't know.
Pipe. It's called
pipe. Vertical pipe. Preview opt-in. This is MC789209. So what this is, well, let's talk about the problem first, and then we'll talk about what this is. The problem has been before the age of current SharePoint, way back in the day, we had SharePoint libraries that did not have versions on them, version control, meaning, or not version control, but version limits. So all the documents put in there in versions. Well, that added to your space. And then it was forced on us default of 500 versions of a document. That was kind of the default across the board. But you can change that, right? You can go in and say, keep only 5 or 10 or whatever. And, well, that's great until you get into things like co-authoring and the age of documents, that so those files are just lots and lots of versions. Now, Office files are smart and doesn't take up all the space for each version, you know, but still, it's taking up that space. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, instead of version number, for instance, instead of saying, let's keep you know, 15 versions for every document library or 500, whatever, you could actually say only keep 3 years of versions, right? Wouldn't that be interesting to say, you know, we don't need things that are older than 3 years, or maybe say, across the board, we want to put the default at 100 versions instead of 500 here and 3 there because somebody chose it or whatever. Well, that's what this message is saying. We're going to have two, we're going to be able to set at the tenant level version history limits. We're going to have two options, basically, two top level options. One is automatic, and I'm going to come back to that because it's kind of interesting. And then manual. And manual, we're going to be able to say, a set number or a time limit and be able to set that across the board. Now, the automatic is where it gets a little bit interesting because automatic will deploy kind of an algorithm read, you don't have control, an algorithm to preserve those high value versions. And what I equate this to, now there's not that much detail on exactly what this algorithm is, but when I am backing up my website, I take it's kind of a tailed approach, and meaning it's bigger and then it gets smaller, right? So, you know, for instance, you would take a backup every week or maybe even every day, and then you would keep only the monthly backups for a certain time. And then you would only keep yearly backups for, you know, after that. So this is a algorithm would do things like, well, I'm going to keep all of the recent versions because you're probably going to want to restore those. So there might be within the last, you know, 3 months, there might be 10 versions, but then there might be 10 versions it keeps over the past 3 years after that or something, right? Just think about it kind of like that. It's like, this algorithm is going to look at it and go, what's the likelihood that they're going to want to restore and kind of keep that? Does that make sense? Mm. Hopefully.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to be based on how frequently a certain version was accessed. So let's keep that one.
Yeah. So, which I think is really nice. The only problem is that there's not a whole lot of detail on describing what that algorithm is doing and how it's interpreting it. So that's the risky part. You turn that on and then it goes about deleting versions and you're not going to find out it deleted those versions until you need it.
Mm,
right?
I hear you.
So that's the part I'm a little nervous about, but I'd like a little bit more information from them about what the algorithm is. Now, for this public preview, it's rolling out early May 2024, and you can opt in. So you have to run this PowerShell commandlet to enable this version expiration setting, and then you'll be able to go in and set the setting. Okay, so you have to run the PowerShell, and then you have to set it. General availability, though, will be rolled out late August 2024. That's after everybody has tested it, and they've resolved the issues.
Which they won't know until they actually need the document and that version.
Right. I'm a little worried, Daryl. I'm not overly worried. I'm just a little worried. What I'm expecting is it's going to be like this, like I was trying to say is, you know, it's going to keep, you know, the last 3 years, it's going to keep maybe, you know, a few documents, and then it keeps even more versions as you get up to today. Right. So that, are you really going to restore a version of a document 3 years ago when there's a bunch of versions now? Maybe, but do you need to be able to choose from a daily version or a monthly version as it was being edited? Or can you choose from a one for a 6 month period or a 10 or a, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, I hope I'm doing an okay job describing.
No, I think you're exploring all the options. Speaking of options. Microsoft Outlook grounded chat with Microsoft Copilot in Outlook. This is MC788979. It is not the only message in this week's plethora that we received. related to Copilot and Outlook. Well, just brief mention, Copilot's going to be available in Outlook on the web and new Outlook via the left-hand app rail. Great. Ping, bong, all those sound effects. It's there. But this other one that we're focusing on right now is about grounded chat in Outlook. And so this is a trend that we're seeing, or rather an alignment across all the Copilot experiences in Microsoft 365, where you can open it up as a sidecar or the side panel. I think it's called the sidecar officially.
Beep, beep.
Yep.
That was my car.
So you had to add a sound effect. Now, the idea is that when you're opening it on the side, then it's going to use the context of what you're doing. Not quite. We would like it to do that, but it is at least going to prompt us or give us some starting points that are related to Outlook, and it'll be open and available there. And Daniel, I like what you suggested around how you might be using Copilot in different places that you're working. How would you use the sidecar here in Outlook?
Well, my example was I'm working in an app, Word, or let's call PowerPoint, and I'm using Copilot to generate things or whatever, give me information. And then I remember, I want to go into email and find that email. I know there's that email, whatever, that plays into what I'm trying to do in PowerPoint. I would like for me to jump over to Outlook and make those, hey, you know, find this that has this context. Great, there it is. Now add this to the PowerPoint. That'd be great. That's not what we're getting, but that would be great. But, I think, a big usage in Outlook right now for Copilot or a target would be, summarize a thread. You come back from vacation and some emails blast, blown up and there's a bunch of responses. Summarize the thread, look at my upcoming meetings, for my calendar, stuff like that. But I really want this to look at context, right, Daryl?
Yeah.
I'm looking at an email. I want to pull this up and be able to say, okay, look, tell me about this email, summarize it, and then add in context, blah, blah, blah. That's what we'd really like to see.
Yeah, so Daniel and I have access to this at the moment from our quick testing. It's as if you're using Copilot from copilot.microsoft.com. If I want to know about a topic and I asked about a topic that I know I've been discussing in an email, it actually just went out and searched and described what that topic was. But it did give me references to files that were related to that topic, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But as Daniel said, being able to summarize a thread or at least know that this is what I've got open in the body of Outlook. I've got your Copilot side panel open now. Tell me about what I've got open. And that summarize feature at the moment is a little bar along the top of your conversation thread saying summarize this thread. So I think, and I'll wrap this up, it's good to see that Outlook is coming in line with the other applications where you've got the sidecar experience consistent across other apps where you use Copilot. But keep it in mind, people, that the Copilot story is certainly something in rapid development, and it's a start. We'll expect to see something more here which gives contextual Copilot conversations and Outlook from the sidecar. So it is available late April, so that's why we're seeing it. And complete mid-May. So there you go.
Awesome.
And go ahead. Daniel, I was going to say lastly, but it's not the last message.
It is not the last message. It is my last message because the one after this, I'm just going to sit back and watch Daryl do his thing. This one is Microsoft 365 archive feature for inactive sites on SharePoint. This is MC789317. So as a SharePoint admin, global admin, you're looking at your sites. You're like, wow, there's so many sites. And are these even being used? Maybe you're even using some reports to tell you if sites are being used or not. And so what do you do? If you create a site for like I did for a workshop I did with Emily at the conference we were just talking about. You know, hey, what do you do with that site now? Maybe you want to keep it around, kind of, but you don't want to delete it, but you definitely don't want it to be using up all your space. Then you can archive it. And this is going to allow you to select any site, you know, that you're not using and archive. And it's using the M365 archive feature. And then once you archive it, that content, that storage will not go against your quota, right? Because you have a quota of how much storage you can have in SharePoint. It's listed very publicly and everybody knows what that is. And it doesn't count against it. Now, if you've exceeded, let's say you've exceeded by 10, you know, gigs and you just archived a site that was 20 gigs. Well, great. Now you have 10 gigs of space that you can use now. So awesome. What it is doing then, it will charge you for using that feature, that Microsoft 365 Archive feature. So it charges you by the storage, but it's not as expensive as if you have to buy the storage from SharePoint, okay, for the SharePoint site. Now, if you are not past that, great, it doesn't charge you for storage at all. You can just archive your sites. As long as you're not over your limit in SharePoint, it doesn't even charge you. Now, it will charge you for the action of bringing the site back from archive if you want. So just know that it's not a huge expense, but you follow the links there, you'll see the details on how much it costs. And just a side note, those archive sites are still available for your compliance. Okay. So it's not like it's going away. You know, using Purview and such, you're going to be able to find the content and part of your compliance features. So,
okay. And that might be the very reason that you want to call it back out of storage. You've run a
maybe
query.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it's still there, so you can query and find the content. But maybe you're like, well, we now need to use it or whatever. Then, yeah, you very well could. You know, that may be the reason. So this is rolling out worldwide, general availability late April, so already passed, and expected to be completed by mid-May 2024. Can you believe we're already in May?
Oh, don't say that.
Wow.
Don't
say that. So amazing.
I watch a certain evening show which puts together a montage of all the newscasts that go, can you believe it's May? Oh, it's May. It's really the 1st of May. And it's, yeah, amazing. We don't want
to
be in that
category. Was I included? Because I just said it.
No, I think we should be added to that montage.
I think we should. So, honorable mention, we have to make sure we say Teams at least once per episode. Mm-hmm. So, honorable mention, Teams. Daryl, take it away.
Teams Mobile, Copilot for Teams, will soon be available after eligible meetings end MC787386. This is something we can do from the desktop. If we've got Copilot, we can use it, open it up, ask questions about the meeting, the chat, etc. You know, as long as we've recorded it and transcribed it. But we couldn't do this from mobile. Now we have that opportunity to do so. So for those of you who are on the move and you do want to just catch up on some details from that meeting, or maybe even you're following a meeting, you didn't actually attend it, but you want to catch up with some of the details from your mobile, then this will be available because it's an eligible meeting.
Look at you calling back to our last episode with the
follow. I know,
it's
wow. what I can do. So it's as simple as opening up the meeting in the Meetings app within Teams mobile. There were some layers to that. Yeah. Once that meeting opens, you're in your details view already, and you can use the Copilot icon up on the top right-hand corner, and that will give you, will bring you into Copilot chat, where you can say, tell me about this meeting, were there any tasks for me, how many people were engaged with this meeting or not, who should I follow up with, should Daniel get a raise?
No.
Absolutely.
Yes. Wait. I thought you were going to say should Daniel do be tasked with things? I'm like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, all Daniel right. should. But it's also for those meetings that you just transcribe, right? You, and to be able to interact with it. I think that's amazing.
Yep. Generally available, it's rolling out early May. Now it's expected to be complete late May. I almost said late April for some reason. But that is the show. We are ending on a recap, and we don't need to recap the show. If you need to recap it, then remember we've got chapters down below. And if you find a particular topic you want to share, then you can also share directly from that chapter mark. You know where to follow us. It's at 365MCS. Yes.
Woohoo. We're available there. If you make sure that you interact with us, people. We love interacting on the socials and in the comments of the episode. We'd love for you to share those out so all your friends and family and coworkers. I always say family just to be funny, you know, but maybe your family is interested.
Maybe.
You know, fantastic. Share.
Did we get any email at our email address that we created while we were making up the show?
No, we didn't.
We did.
Sorry.
Oh, come on. If you need to email us too, that's show@messagecenter.com. No?
show@365mcs.com.
Oh, okay.
So, do you not know our website? Like,
look, the email address is brand new. Okay, I'm still getting used to it. I didn't get the organizational message pop up.
I will send one right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. We greatly appreciate you, and we will catch you next week.
Bye for now.